Master. Father, we thank you for your grace today. Lord, for another day, Lord, we could come together to worship you, Lord. And to have fellowship, Lord, with one another and to hear your word. Father, we know the world we live in is in a state, Father, that it could not last anymore without mankind destroying themselves and even to destroy this earth completely. But we know, Father, your word that was written thousands of years ago, it foretells, O Lord, the things that is happening today, the things that must come to pass. Events that must come to pass before our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ return, Father, and to set up his millennium rule over this earthly people, where then peace will be and where the knowledge of our Lord and God of heavens and earth will cover the whole earth, and the glory of God will cover us the earth, and the knowledge of the people, O Lord, will come to know and worship you as the one true God of heaven and earth, the creator of this whole universe. Father, we thank you for giving us the revelation in the word, Lord, of yours, that in this hour that we can be strengthened and knowing, O Lord, the importance of this to prepare ourselves for the coming, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, that we might be a people truly, Lord, worthy of the gospel, of the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We ask for your grace now, Lord, that you come, break the word of life to us. We thank you, Lord, for truth. We ask this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, let's go to the book of Hebrews. Last week, we are in chapter 2. Almost to the end, we finish. So let us go to it, and then I want to recap something important. I want to use the PowerPoint here to let you see a more clearer picture. All right, last week we ended with chapter 2, and we have 10 onwards down, just to recap. For it became him, that is God, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name. That is the Lord Jesus speaking then. I will declare thy name, the name of God, our Heavenly Father. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. I will put my trust in God. That's Christ speaking. That's why he was walking all the years of his life to his death, putting the trust in him for the word that God promised him. And again,
Behold, I and the children which God have given me.
Think about this. Now, the emphasis, as I said, about the book of Hebrew, it's all about the supreme one, the superiority of Christ over all creation, over all creatures. Alright? And it's about Him. What He, who He is, and who He was back then, and what He will be. Verse 40. For as much then as the children are partaker of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is Satan, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So for as much as the children are particular flesh now, remember this, God created us, because in fact the Bible says that every one of us are God's children. The whole world, all those mankind are God's children in general, because the Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So in a way, yes, the people of the world, they are all created by God, you all came from God. But there is a mystery as to who are the real children of God. And we can find it from the scripture. But here he says that now, because we are partaker of flesh and blood, Jesus Christ decided to do the same. Now further on, he said that he might destroy the power, destroy him who had the power of death. Destroy the devil or the adversary of God who had the power of death. He must put down death. Now, because we are all born in sin. And as I say this, we all need to know the mystery of God. We need to know about the mystery why God allowed things to be and why He allows sin to come. Not that He forced it on us, but that He make it in such a way that men have a choice. Alright? And so, He allows them to give us a better body, a better life in the future. This earthly life that we have, even if there was no sin entering into the Garden of Eden, every one of us will have a mortal body, but life will be forever and ever. But then, this is just a body which is very sensitive to pain and pleasure. Right? But God wants to give us a better body than this. A better body than the angel. A better body than this physical body. The natural body. One that is a spiritual body. Like unto the one that Jesus hath now. Alright, let's continue here. In verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Yeah, we are all subject to the bondage of them. But, you know one thing, I don't know what about death, fear of death. Talk about the fear of death. Well, a lot of people say, I'm not afraid of death. But in a sense that, when you are young, when you grow up, there is always this awareness of dying. Even the prince, Gautama Buddha, before he was a Buddha, I can't remember what his real name was. You know, he, being a prince, he enjoyed life, he didn't, you know, never been outside the palace to see suffering, people who are poor, people who are sick, going old and dying. He never seen it. So when you are young growing up, I mean, just like, Adam growing up, you know, at a certain age, he observed. You know. And I'm trying to educate him about life, about pain, about what death is. And there are people who are not educated, who never taught about this. They just grow up, something they feel, somebody just died like that, wonder why. And there's a lot of question in the heart as to what's going on and what life is all about.
And that's why in the young age, I always ask myself, I wonder what life is about. Because I've seen the people, you know, grow up and married, have children, and they grow up, they get married, they have children too, and they go to work, and then they die. What is this purpose? That is a bondage. You know what I mean? We are in bondage to this flesh. And that's the end is of his death. No matter how rich you are, 1% up there in the pyramid scale, with all like 80 or 90% of the wealth of the world, the money of the world, go up to that top. And the people at the bottom there, they're all suffering, struggling to find food. But sooner or later, whether you're a billion, multi-billionaire, you die, where are you going to go? You still feel that. And we know that there are atheists. There have been record testimony of servants who were, you know, working in a butler, attendants, serving these rich people, atheists. But when they died, they were screaming out. They were screaming out. So when you people deny God and all this, when you die, you get hallucination, demon coming after you. But now, you are a child of God. We are a child of God, what do you see? You know, now I'm 72 years old, and you know, the older I get, the older I have more pain, alright? And I lie in bed many times, I wonder, I say, long am I going to go? I look forward to going. You see, to get out of this body of suffering, of pain. You see. But of course, it doesn't mean that we are Christian. There's no suffering. No. Suffering is part of life. Through suffering. What the Bible here said, through suffering in verse 13. Verse 10. For he became God for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. So can we escape suffering? No. Jesus Christ, when before he was betrayed, he said, for this cause was I born. And he knew he must face Calvary. He must face death. A man will have no sin and never get sickness in his body. But he's feeling your pain in my pain, feeling your sickness, infirmity in his body. He sees you, brothers and sisters, being the older one, can feel your pain, can feel your suffering. And he wants to die for you. He wants to suffer that to become the captain of your salvation. So when he was betrayed that night, oh my, before that betrayer, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that? How he prayed and prayed. If it's possible, Father, remove this cup. If nobody wants to taste down death. Nobody wants to face suffering like that. Not that he was being taken up there and a spear pierced through his heart and that's it. But no. The Roman system is that the person must be judged and give a whipping, just like here in Singapore. If you break the law or bring in drugs into the country, you get killing, right? And that is what lots of people do not want. And there have been records. Why come on a plea with the magistrate? Please don't give me the 5K. I will willing to serve longer years in the prison. No deal. You cannot say, I can serve 5 years for five caning, remove the cane after 5 years, no deal. It is the caning, it is the pain. You know. So Jesus Christ went through it. He was whipped, he was, you know, the 40 stripes that he took, not just ordinary whip. As you know, go to ancient, go to the museum, go and study it, find out. God, that kind of whip is always known to me as cat or nine tail. It's a wooden piece where the leather struck and then three leather struck came out of that end. And at the end there are three hooks. Tiny little hooks. And they don't just whip it like that. They whip and they pull. They slash and they pull. Like this. Yeah. 40 stripes. You claim, I don't know how man could take the 40 stripes with the skin being torn up like that. The tiny little bump at the end. That's what Christ did for us. So that we may escape this bondage of the fear of death and the pain that comes. You know. But life in Christ Jesus. We sang that song, I know I can face tomorrow because He holds tomorrow. He holds my future. Alright, verse 16. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Why did He take the seed of Abraham? Why? Look at it carefully. He took not on Him the nature of angel, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Why? Because the angels are servants. He has no relationship with the angels as brother or sisters. Angel to God is servant to master. You got it? They are ministering spirit. You got it? But Jesus related to us as son of God. There is a relationship here because of sonship. And because of that, Jesus took on Him flesh and blood, because we are born on this earth flesh and blood. Now, first of all, you must understand, Jesus Christ, before He was born, whereby, in John chapter 1 verse 1, right, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God. I want to explain this later on with the PowerPoint. But just for this moment, I think. The Word came out of the mighty Spirit of God. And in it, God put sonship. The Spirit on sonship, so that later on, because sons are born. Physically, we are sons of God, daughters of God. We bypass our theophany. We bypass our word body. Now, that way the problem explained. I hope that you can understand this. Okay, Jesus did not bypass His theophany. Barbara used the word theophany, which is actually the word body. He didn't bypass the word body. He came out of spirit into a word body. But we never have that. That's why people said we will be God in that theophany. No. God asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world, right? When the stars of God sung and the sons of God sounded for joy, right? Who are you? Because of that one word, many brothers of mine don't understand. They say, oh, we were there with God. Okay, no. We were all in the minds of God. We were there in that word. It is, you understand this, because if you don't understand the mystery, we cannot be there with God as Japanese of them. No. It is the one seed. The monogene. Remember the monogene? If you have studied the Logos. The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word came out of God. Got it? Got it? Now, for want of a better word, now we can use a better word, because sometimes we use the word, it sounds right, but not so right. But as long as we get the picture. Now, when we said that, now, the denomination believe God is a Trinity. The three spirits are in one. Okay? You all know, huh? Alright. Or three persons. You want to, however they define. But as we know this, that Jesus was born. So, my friend used to say, so when Jesus was created, I said, the body was created? Yes. And the word came out of God. Because God is a spirit, He's only one spirit. But the Bible said the word came out of God. And when He said come out, something to come out, well, sometimes we use, He created a word body. Right? And put the word in. But I think the better word is birth. You got what I mean by birth? Right? Okay, birth. Birth is a better word. God birth, or God give birth to the word. Because the word came out of the spirit is birth. And because the word came out of the spirit, the essence is the same. The gene is the same. You got it? Yes, Lord. My son has my gene. So if a dog and a dog come together, what comes out from the dog is a dog. If it's an Alsatian dog, it must be Alsatian. If it's a what? If it's a Dachshund, it must be a Dachshund, right? Is it a collie? It must be a collie. You get what I'm saying? So the word birth flowed from the Spirit. So that's why the word was God. Same as. You're following me now. I hope that's not too difficult for you to understand. And we, where were we from? We were part of this word that birthed out. That's the monogene. Jesus said, I laid down my life. Is that right? I'll pick it up then. Unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground, it cannot bring forth much fruit. God planted that word seed. From that comes from many seeds of the same. What were you born of? Jesus came out of God. He was the Word. And the Word and the Spirit, they're one. They're not anything else, huh? It's because they're the same substance. Okay. So what then? If you're born of the Word, you were there with Christ or with God in that Word. And so God asked Job, where were you? Job was ignorant of many things. So that's why God is asking, can you understand? That's why, Christian, now let me, there's something here. If God were to ask a Christian today, the question, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? And I believe a lot of people doesn't know. Because a lot of people don't want to learn the Word of God. They don't want to go into the Word of God. Why is it so important to go to learn? Well, you know, I have some believer telling me things that I can tell you. I don't know where they get all this revelation from. Or is it because they are stubborn and rebellious? I don't have to go to church for again. Because if I'm born again, I'm going to be with Christ. I don't have to go to church. Because I'm born of His Word, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to fellowship, I don't have to go to church worship. Really? Where do you get the revelation? You get it from God? I can tell you one thing, you get it from the devil. Do you know what is it? The Bible tells us, do not forget to assemble ourselves together.
Amen.
As in the manner of some are doing. And Paul was telling them. No need to go to church. Oh, no need to get baptized. If they'll be saved, they'll be saved. Really? And then you see, that's how my friend argued with me over that. Whichever way you're baptized does not matter. Father, Son, and Ghost, in Jesus' name, does not matter. As long as your heart is sincere with the Lord. I tell you what, you are sincerely wrong. You cannot contradict the Word, no matter how sincere you are.
Amen.
What do you think we come to church for? To fellowship, to worship, to learn the Word of God. Why is it so important? Because you need to know the time and the hour you're living. Watch and pray. Prepare ourselves. Going to church doesn't mean anything to you, huh? If you don't want to learn, what's the use of going to church? That's why it becomes a religion to many people. It's just a religion. If you're born again, if you're born of the Spirit of the Word, and you will thirst after God's Word. You will thirst after righteousness, because that is the Word of God, where righteousness comes from. You thirst for it. You want to know more about it. Because it's life. It's God's love letter to you, explaining to you, telling you, revealing Himself to you. That's why I'm always so excited. Many people study the Scripture and say, oh, I've never seen this before. You know. So Jesus Christ have no relationship with the angel, because they are spirit, they are servant. Huh? They are not his brother. Because angels are sectors, right? You know what I mean? They are spirit. But the Word, that where the sonship was put, where he will become Jesus Christ later on with the name on the earth,
Because when it was word, there was no name. All that was in the mind of God, that we thought when he was born, he told Mary through the Gabriel angel, you know, how to, what name to give him. See that? So he took the form of flesh and blood to feel our pain. And I said, if you were created angel, do you feel pain? No. The spirit. It's only in the human that we have all these five senses that we can feel a touch and pain. Yeah. So Christ took the same. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So he's not concerned with an angel, he's concerned with you and me, Abraham's seed. Abraham's seed. That's so true. Now, let me just go back to chapter 1, okay, verse 5 and 13. Then I came across this last few days. I said, oh, how is it that we just read? Because I'm using King James, and I take it for granted, and using Strong's Concordance. I mean, those here, I don't have a computer. You know, I have this thick concordance called Strong's Concordance. Thick, very thick. Cost me about $99. Back then, $99 is a lot of money, huh? Back in the 60s. You may think about it. Now everything is already on the internet, the computer. You can download the software. But I give the book anyway to Brother Nice to give it to some minister who do not have computer, so that wherever he is, he can use the concordance. But let us look into this. Chapter 1, verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now this, as I said this, you cringe the fact that there's only one God, and Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay? Verse 13. For to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemy thy footstool? That verse was taken from Psalms 110, verse 1. But now let us look at this. If you go over to Psalms 110, just look at the whole verse. Something about which I thought I knew about it, but there is a slight little difference of something which I just learned. So that you might also learn. Psalms 110, we are all very, in fact, most Christians would know this verse well. Alright? Psalms 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. So you will see the word Lord, right? Okay. We're already familiar, okay? The word Lord here are all in capital. Except for this one, where it's spelled with the letter L, capital L. Now, the first word, the Lord, this number here are Strong's Concordant number. So that you can always remember that the number is. And when you refer to concordance, to find out what is the Hebrew word behind. Alright. So now the Lord is Yahweh or Jehovah. Now that's the way that is translated. Now, as I said, the problem about translation. Translation is not that easy. Okay, you will see when I show you some of the verses. Alright? There's always a slight difference. So the Lord, Yahovah, said unto my Lord, Adon. So now, what is the dawn?
The way that it is spelled here. At first I thought all the time, I thought that this word here, Lord, in the Hebrew, you know, number by Strong Concordance is 113. I thought it was Adonai. But it wasn't Adonai, it's Adon. Is it so? When I change it, how is it so? Then why did they put it in capital L? Because that's our English Bible, the way they translate. They try their best to get the word. And we take it for granted. It's okay, that must be it. Not realize it. Alright, now let me show you this. Genesis 18:12. I think you know this verse. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm old, wax old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. You see the same number? H113. Lord, by spelling a small letter L. You got it? What is that? Why? Why is it so? Because I know that this verse, Psalms 110, verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, that must be Adonai. But it is not, it's still Adon. Okay, look at the next one. Isaiah 19:4. And the Egyptian will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. You see the difference here? Do you notice any difference here? Then the Egyptians shall give over into the hand of a cruel lord. Lord, Adon, but spelled with a small letter L. And a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord. Capital L. The Lord of hosts. Now realize something. I try to find out how did the translator back in the days of King James, when they gathered this book, Bible together, how do they know where to translate the word Lord, Adon, with a capital L, and when not to? Then I realized one thing. It's all about a sentence construction. The way that the sentence includes something for you to understand. Now, if you take Genesis 18:12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, and after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure with my Lord, being old also. Who is this Lord that she's speaking about? Abraham. Lord means master, owner, ruler. Got it? That's what Adon means. Now, then how is it there in Isaiah 19:4? The Egyptians are given over into the hand of a cruel lord. But this must be a king. An ordinary king. Who is a ruler or the owner, who is a master. But then he said, and the fierce king shall rule over them. Saith the Lord of hosts. So this is connected. Saith the Lord of hosts. So this Lord, the Lord of hosts, the word Lord therefore is related to the Lord of hosts, which is the Almighty God. So he's written as capital L. Now, you've got a point out? Okay. Let's further understand this. Because when we study the book of Hebrew, we are studying about Christ. And the more that we know who he is to us, then you know that he is not the second person of God. Right? And neither is he God the Father himself. You got it? You understand what I'm saying? Neither is he an ordinary person.
There is someone who is special, very special when we understand him. All right. Yeah, we have to say Samson 101 so that we will not compare. Now look at these two other verses. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 20. And what can David say more unto thee? For the Lord God knoweth thy servant. 2 Samuel 7 22. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, and so on. First part. Now look at this. Look at the Psalms 110. Lord, the number is H3068. That's Hebrew number. Concordant tag to this number. Tag to this word. Alright? And the word Lord, Adon, the Lord said unto my Lord, Adon, is H113. But look at 2 Samuel. And what can it say unto thee? For thou Lord, hey, spell the same as Adon in English, capital L or R-B. But the number is 136, which is Adonai. See the difference. Adonai. And God, which is for the Lord, for thou Lord God, the Lord God, the God here is H3069 and not 3068, and is pronounced as Yahweh. In Hebrew, the words look the same, but there is something different in the way they write it. Now, that's kind of complication because that's why it's not so easy to study Hebrew. But you can learn to speak Hebrew. But actually, when you look at the words, how to write them, that's another thing altogether. Alright, so now look at 2 Samuel 7:22. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God. So now, in 22, Lord God is different from that in chapter 7, verse 20. Lord God. Do you see any difference there? Huh? In 22, Lord God is Jehovah Adonai. Whereas in chapter 7, verse 20, is Lord God is Adonai Jehovah. Strange, isn't it? Right. Only that the word Lord is a different way of writing in Hebrew. Alright, now what's the word God here? For there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee. God, in the second, in this first part of the verse, is the Hebrew number H430, and it is Elohim. It's Elohim. But, and the one in the first, O Lord God, is H136. But H136, how is it translated as God and not translated as Lord? You see the same number? Well, it's the way that the Hebrew speaks. Turn around. Now, the same thing right here. Here in our country here, we have the Malay. Now, when we say Red Hill, our adjective is in front of the object, right? Of the noun. Red Hill. But in the Malay language, it's reverse. Bukit Merah is the hill first, and the color or the object describing the hill is behind. Right? The same with the Spanish. Spanish, when they say the plate is a red plate, we say a red plate, red plate. We don't say plate red, they say plate red. The Plato Corrado. Plato Corrado. That's what they say. They say reverse. I don't know about India whether you put it behind or not, because every language is different. Huh? The Chinese put it first, the color in front, right?
red ball, red plate, so you know, red hill. We always put it the color first. You see, language are all different altogether. But in Hebrew, it seems that when you, the way you speak, the way you construct, the way you say it, will be quite different. Yehovah Adonai. Adonai Yahweh. God Elohim. Right. But here, God is also put as 136, which, why not Lord? But you don't say, oh Lord, Lord. That's how they say it. Strange, but that's how we are. That's why I said when you study scripture, I find a lot of treasure. You see, oh, the way they construct. Alright, next. Alright, so here we have the number 136, Adonai. You see, where it's written here, I'll show you later. Adonai. And Adonai here, 136, is an emphatic form of H113, Adon, the Lord, used as a proper name of God only, my God. Whenever you use the word Adonai, that's God only. Adon is different. Okay, now, the occurrence of this Adonai in the Old King, in the King James Bible, 438. Alright, so here we got. H113. Adon. From an unused root, meaning to rule, sovereign, that is controller, human or divine. Lord, master, owner. Compare also names beginning with Adoni. And perhaps one of the reasons why back then in the 60s, when I learn here in American speak, Adoni. What? I thought I to pronounce as I instead of Antichrist, Antichrist. You say Adoni, Adonai. Perhaps that's what I get confused. I don't know. You use word, that's why we got a problem with N-E-R-O-U. Huh. So, when you look at this in dictionary, America will pronounce probably Adonai. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Language. What? French word for lingerie. You call it, they said lingerie. But they said, we said, this is English. Lingerie is lingerie, right? You all remember that? I remember I was young, I thought it was pronounced as it is. Lingerie, no lingerie. And we have Chinese Hangul pinyin, Beijing. American is Beijing, Beijing. You understand, right? You see, so it's pronunciation, you know, it's how you pronounce. And now we have, in, I don't know how many years ago, you know the Malay words, how we spell air hitam, black water. It was spelled as A-Y-E-R-I-A. Aya means water. But now they spoiled us without, they turned the whole thing to A-I-R. So American people, English speaking people come to Singapore and say, I want to go to Air-Hitam. Air-Hitam. Where is Air-Hitam? So people do not know them. They do not know they're talking about Air-Hitam. So everything is short form. Even nowadays the Chinese character has become simplified. So many strokes is reduced to less number of strokes. So the word change. So now, here is why we have the difference. Adonai. Adonai here is an emphatic form of H113, which is Adon. An emphatic form used as a proper name of God only. That's why he has Psalms 110 says, the Lord said unto my Lord, I thought it was the Lord's Yahweh said unto Adonai. But no, it's Adoni or Adon. Depends how it's written. Now you're getting interesting about this thing. Now, let's see. This is how it's written. So, are you learning something now? I mean, when we read the Bible, study the Bible, don't just read the study. Explore a little bit. There's a lot of rich thing in there. Now look, Adonai, or spell Adonai, Adoni. This is Adoni, but it's spelled like that, but don't read it as Adonai. Don't read it like the American. And don't read this like Adoni. Okay? So the way it is pronounced, okay? Alright. That's language. Now, see how it is written. It's the same, everything looks the same except for the difference in. Now, in the Hebrew, you know what Jesus said? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. And he said also, not one, what? One jot or one tittle will pass away. So the jot and tittle is the word jot, J-O-T, as you see in English, is actually yod. Okay? Yod, there is the smallest letters in the alphabet, the little alphabet, little mark only. Theta. Well, you know, in Hebrew, sometimes if you look at it closely, they have what we call all this marking here. You know, like crowns on top of the alphabet. They all mean something. Alright? I wouldn't know much because I don't go too deep into learning all that. But look at this. Here we have this mark here. Commands. Now, in another spelling, they put it as K. And here we have this dot here. Harry, in another spelling, they spell it as H-E-R-E-T-Z. So, depends on whether you are American or you are British or whatever, whoever started the name of giving the name and the people want to change the name. Now my name, God. Somebody call me again. You see the way they put this, and then they put an N behind. My name, God, G-A-N-N. And even in Africa, some brother who heard them, they know their brother God, and then I don't know how come that they hear this again, and then some of them wrote me dear brother again, G-A-N-N. You know, A-N-N is N, huh? G-N. More N than N. Okay. That's how it is. So, that's the mark is different. So you understand that now. Looks the same way. So by the time you look at this from afar, you will say, oh, Adonai. But it's because of this. And this is Adonai, is because of this having. Alright. This is all the different forms of Adoni. See how it is? See that, Mark? See that? Alright? Still Adon. Hebrew word number in Strong Concordance, H113. Do you see? But when you have this command here, it is Adonai. This belongs to the Lord. The rest, not necessarily. This can also refer to the Lord. And it depends on how it is spoken. My Adoni, the Lord of hosts. You know, remember that. It's always connected to God in the sentence, in the structure. Then you can know that it is referring to the Lord. Do you see? Alright. So much for that. So now, when we look at Hebrew itself, Paul, in writing this, and I always say I believe it was Paul, okay, because of the way that he wrote it, so simple to understand right here, to get the Hebrew people, the Hebrew convert, to stay on the faith, because many of them, because of the persecution, many of them want to retain their faith and want to go back to Judaism. And like many Christians too. After a while, because of persecution from the family or from friends or relatives and the pressure, give it up, go back to where I was, compromise, and join the rest of the people of the world or the family just to please them. Remember this. And Paul wrote this to explain
to the Jews,
because they believe in one God.
They find out to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is the Messiah. Because you know, the Jews always expected the Messiah to come and set up the kingdom. They don't recognize that from the very beginning that the prophecy in Old Testament talked about the Messiah come to save them first, to become an atonement for them. You know, they want the Messiah to come to redeem them from all the other nations on about them for the mistreatment, you know, from the southern nation. But God always works from inside out. So always remember Hebrews chapter 1, 5 and 13. Okay? Or you can even say that you can make it Hebrews 1, 5 and 6 and 13. These three verses are important. And also to go to Psalms 110 verse 1. I like it in verse 5 is because that God said, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, this day have I birthed thee." In the mind of God already, what God had intended, that there must come forth a son, a monogene. Counsel with himself and look into the future what it's going to be. He saw all that. And he planned it. He ordained it. See that? Now, Proverbs 8, 22 to 30. Somebody read it, Brother Henry.
Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22 to 30. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields, or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him.
Amen. Right. So here, the proverb was using the wisdom. Wisdom is, you know, wisdom is God, huh? Represents, personifies as the Son. So wisdom was by him. So wisdom is speaking. I was there when God created this, when God did this. I was there before him. I was there, I was his daily delight. It's like in verse 30, right? Then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight. Now, by reading this, if the Trinity can pick up this word and say, you see, that's the Son. That's God, that's the Son, the second person. I said, yeah. But he says, he was his daily delight. How come the Father and the Son, if they're equal, why is that the Father delight in the Son? And we already know from Hebrew that the Paul is trying to get across to the Hebrew to make them again, give them understanding that he is your Messiah. He's the one the Father called the Son. Now Jesus came and he said, remember, what do you want to stone me and destroy me? Because I say I'm the Son of God. When you call the prophets to God. Because the word came unto them, right? And that's why you are sons and daughters of God, because the word came to you and you received it. And you are born of the word. That's why you can be called a son of God, a daughter of God. And that's why here, the word wisdom personified as Christ, I was his daily delight. Come on. As a father, when you have a child, right, you know, he was your delight.
You see?
So, you got the point. Guys, go to John chapter 17, verse 5. John chapter 17, verse 5. Alright? John 17, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. This is a very one of the verses that the Trinitarian will use. You see, Jesus Christ was there with the Father, equal together. Here Jesus Christ was praying. He's facing death. And he said this, Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. The glory I had with you, because he was the Word. The member of the Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What do you mean by the glory of God? Every time you read the Bible about the glory of God, the glory of God, it deals with God's glory, which is His Word. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, fall short of God's Word, fall short of His standard. Yeah. And God will always glorify His Word. Like what we read, let's see, verse 4. Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you give me to do. I have glorified thee. How did Christ glorify God? By manifesting His Word. That's what John chapter 1 verse 14. And the Word was made manifest in the flesh, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the begotten of the Father. The Word. The mighty Spirit in the beginning, before the earth was created, before the heaven was created, the mighty Spirit birthed forth the Word. You get it? God wanted to manifest Himself. One, it's what we call the revelation. That's what the word in John is in Greek called, is the word called Logos. Logos means the revealing of God. God revealing Himself. You understand? So, how does one reveal himself? That's why your kids are playing hide and seek. One hide in the cupboard. Huh? So, and the one who is seeking could not find him. Then he said, please reveal yourself. So no one revealed himself. It's either he made a lot of noise in the cupboard, or he opened the door and said, Tata, I'm here, did you find me? It means he revealed himself. Now the same thing it is, you may hide your character. You may hide your true self. Right? Like couples courting each other. Yeah, many times the man hides his back bad side. And so does the woman hide her bad side. So they put on a good show, right? Isn't it? Correct? Yeah. You know. So that's how it is. But then later on after marriage, now your bad side is coming out. All your bad behavior, your background, all now surface. Your real self, you're revealing your real self. So Christ came to reveal God. The very character of God. So, do you understand this whole thing now about the Father and the Son, the Word and the Spirit, and the Word that came out is what was laid down for us. Christ came in the fullness of God to manifest God. But while He was on earth, we only see the part that is revealed. We don't see the full part until when He died, after He died. Then resurrected. Then we begin to see everything now.
You see. You got it?
All right, let's go back to Hebrew and finish the second part of chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Huh, I like this. They always say, oh, this is really something here. See that? Let me read it again. You got a Bible? Look at the Bible carefully. I don't want you to miss it. Okay? Don't miss what I'm reading. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the prophet and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Am I reading it right? Right? Am I reading it right? Am I reading it right? No. Why is that this Bible here, Paul? We know that the Jew, they were looking for the prophet. Because Moses said, the Lord thy God will raise up a prophet like unto me. Alright? Whose word, whose voice you must hearken. If not, he'll cut you off. Moses prophesied of that. The Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet like unto me, just like me. But his word, you better take heed to everybody he said. Or what is it here that Paul wrote to them and called Jesus Christ the apostle? Interesting. He's still a high priest. Right. Jesus Christ was a type of the high priest in Melchizedek. After the order of Melchizedek, still today many Christians believe that Melchizedek was literally a descendant from Shem. Or, you know, they don't believe that he was actually a prefiguration of Jesus Christ. And they try to interpret, but the Bible says he has, you know, no beginning, no end, and he has no descent, no father, mother. They're saying that means that he has no record, no birth record. Come on, if you are born somewhere out there, you know, in a certain country where there's war going on and you have no record, right? So it means that you're Melchizedek. Can you say just because no record is some? No, you don't interpret the Bible like that. You know, Bible says no father, mother means literally no proper descent. You know, not just say there's no record of who he is, and therefore he must be a sham, you know, a descendant. And he was a Melchizedek, he was really a priest. You cannot interpret like that. No record means no record. Alright, so the apostle. Now, that's why we have understanding that when Christ came and he fulfilled all that we were spoken of him, the old is folded up. Now, Jesus said, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And people think that what Jesus said means to say that, oh, Jesus Christ, see, he didn't destroy the law. He fulfilled the law, so likewise we must fulfill the law. I think you all have heard that. Therefore, we must fulfill the law. Well, there's so many laws. You want to fulfill all those laws. But what law do the Sabbath Adventists keep? They only keep the Sabbath. What about the rest? Huh? What about all the other commandments? What about all the other Levitical laws? How is it not? You see? You know, when Jesus died, Paul said, all those laws that are contrary to us is all near the cross. So it means that there is no law that is not contrary. It's still applied. What are those laws? The law of the spirit of life. They used to say, in one sense, if you are a woman, you dress like a woman, behave like a woman. If you are a man, the same. Law is not contrary. The law of the land, you keep it. The Bible said, subject to our authority. You understand that? The government here says you pay tax, you pay tax. You don't evade tax. You know? For example, you are driving along the road, speeding, and the police man stop you. You have broke the law. Fine, $100. Hey, don't you know who I am? I'm the Son of God, you know? You think that would give you the right that you can? No. You're subject to the law of the land. So there are certain laws that you know how to behave. Even the simple, though we are not under the law in any sense of the word, we are free indeed. Where Christ is, there's freedom. There's liberty. But it doesn't mean that we do whatever we like, anyhow we like. The Bible gives us so many guidelines. Isn't it true?
Yeah.
Oh, the law of washing of hands. Where did the law come from? There was no such law. It was a tradition of the Jew. Remember? Yeah, in the Old Testament, you read the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. It talks about sanitation. Sure. Of course, when you go, your hand dirty, or you go to the toilet, whatever it is, you come out, you wash hands. That's right. So you keep disease at bay. Right. But it doesn't mean that every time you want to eat, you must wash hands. Every time you want to eat, you must wash hands. No. So, when we look at this, here, God and me, Christ, Paul said, consider the apostle and high priest. Apostle because the law is folded up, the new comes in. Grace was there. In the Old Testament, you have prophets. Prophets. You don't have evangelists. But you have shepherd, which is pastor. And your teachers. These are the three ministries there. Besides, of course, the priesthood. Okay? But the priesthood are not just, you know, the priest himself. But you and I, we are all priesthood. Peter said that. You are a holy priesthood, a holy nation. Priesthood. You are a priest. In what sense? You minister to the Lord. You get up in the morning, you praise God. Right? You're ministering to the Lord. And you're ministering to one another. That's what a priest. But here, apostle. Now, Christ added to the church apostles. Because in Old Testament, you don't get apostle. In the Old Testament, you don't evangelist. Because evangelist means carrier of good news. Yeah, evangelize, carry on good news. So that's why it's like heaven. So they are fight for ministry. But the first is the apostles. Now, Old Testament, the Jews were looking for the prophet, always the prophet. And the prophet of the same thing always had that message, prophet. Hey. The Bible says, consider. Wherefore the holy brethren, partaker of the heavenly calling. You and I, we are partaker of the heavenly calling. So let us consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. What is a profession? Is there any translation in New King James? Still the same, right? Is it the word profession? Yeah, still the same, profession. What is a profession? What profession is? Your profession, what do you profess? Yeah. I'm a professor. I profess Jesus Christ, my King, my Lord, my Savior. So if you're a professor, you're professing, right? That Christ is your Lord, your Master, your Savior. So then you consider. Consider that He is the apostle, not the prophet. Only to the Jew, they're still waiting for the prophet to come. But once you know who Christ is in your life, He is the apostle. What is an apostle? Someone who founded you. You know what's the found? The foundation. He is your foundation. Right? You get it. Correct.
That's why there are 12 apostles for the church, the foundation, they laid the foundation. But Christ is the foundation. The foundation. He is the founder of your life.
Amen.
He gives you this faith. And he's a high priest. He's still interceding.
Amen.
Remember. He's still interceding for you and me. So it's not the, God is not the high priest. Huh? God is not the high priest. Christ is the high priest. Got it? The Christ is the high priest. Christ himself. And so consider that apostle high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him, to God, that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Ah, God appointed Jesus Christ. No, think about it. Christ was faithful to God that appointed him. Wow. Again, if you're any Trinity cannot understand. It is not what they say, oh, the Son was equal. The Father said, oh, let me be the Son. Well, in the first place, let me say, they are three spirit, one of them, they're all equal. Huh? One of them say, oh, I humble myself. Let me be the Son. I mean, is that such a thing? Right. If you have a company and three of you, you all have a three share, huh? You're one of them, wow, one said, let me humble myself to be a servant, you all can relax. I do all the work. Would the Son, would there be such a person like that? No. You say the word that is used, huh? God appointed him. See, God can appoint us because we are sons and daughters. God appointed me to be a minister. Huh? God appointed you to be also be priest. So you minister one another, as well you minister to the Lord. So let us consider this. So he said that Moses was faithful in all his house. What house? You mean his family? His own household of servants? What? Israel! In all his house, Moses was made the householder of the house of Israel. And Moses was faithful to do exactly what God said. There's no prophet like Moses. That's why the Jew always said, always Moses. After that, you'll talk about Elijah. Problem with Elijah is what they should look for because he's the one that brings grace. And that's why Elijah is talked about in the end of the Old Testament book. But they always talk about Moses because, yeah, Moses was so great, you know. Brought them out of Egypt and so on and so forth. Out there in the wilderness, he was there with them, suffered with them. Oh. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. This man, who is this man? Christ. This man was counted more worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who have built the house have more glory than the house. Because you look at, oh, look at this house. Look at this glory of this house. But who built it? It's the one, huh? To get the more glory, not the house. And the Jew said to the Jew, why are you talking about this temple? One of the days you'll come down. And the same thing, you talk about Solomon, now Solomon, and Jesus got the greater than Solomon is right here. They always look for the glory. Yeah. Now, that's human being. Look at Christianity today, or look at any religion. But not so with religion because the founder are dead. Now here we have in Christianity, Christ is our founder, he's God. He's no longer on earth right here for you to see. But in Christianity you have all these different groups of kingdoms. Right? Different groups of kingdoms. Different denominations. And ministers make themselves somebody. Right? In the end of the message, whoa, everybody wants to be your own lady. Some believe that he is the Joshua. Moses is, Abraham was Moses.
Now after Moses was Joshua, and there I said they are the most Joshua. And then what else did they have? Some call themselves Elisha. Or maybe they didn't call themselves Elijah. They call, the believer call their pastor Elisha. And they are calling Elibeska Elisha. And what about you, one Frank? The mentor fell, the one Frank. He's the one. In Congo, they believe that. And then last few days ago, there was a PDF file, a letter went out from Billy Branham, Billy Paul Branham, Joseph Branham, and Fred Ferguson. Why? Because that man called Barati, the one whom me and Brother Nice had a talk in the restaurant of a hotel, where when he went in, the hotel, the door was closed. Nobody got in the restaurant. Big man, good bodyguards. He claimed that Billy Paul said that he had the gift of faith by some vision of whatever was said. That's what Barato claimed. And he spoke openly. And people asked, wrote the letter to Abraham Tamalika to ask from Billy Paul and Joseph whether this thing is true. They denied. See, somebody lied somewhere. You know, anti-message, they are full of lies. Out there, a lot of brandomites are full of lies. Even right here in Singapore. Men cannot be men to be honest enough to speak the truth. They must conjure up something and lie about it. Bible said this. Be sure your sin will find you out. The sin will find you out. You try to say something that is not true, it will come out. If you don't have a vision, you don't have a dream. Why do you want to conjure up something that is not true? And just because you said that Billy Paul, you know, said something that the gift of Branham is on you, that's a big deal. Now if somebody come up to me and say, Brother Gan, I prophesy to you that God has given me the gift of healing. So, if I have it, it will manifest. People will know, I don't have to go around telling lies. That this person said, but I don't even have it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why the vision and the dream that God had given me concerning the ministry of Brother Branham and what I was supposed to do is enough. Way back in the 75. Enough. When God showed me who Brother Branham was in that night vision. And the ministry that I have. You know. Just simple as that. Enough. And it let it manifest itself. But people must want to have a dream and vision and this and that. Why don't they consider Jesus Christ? How he lived his life? Huh? Right. So, every house, verse 4, for every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. Yes, God said, Moses, build a house. Right. Same thing after Moses, God, Joshua, take over. Everybody has a house to build. Now, here in Adam, we are living, we have charismatic, we have different denominations. They are building their own kingdom. And as always think, building their own kingdom. Like this man in America, Cohen Raka. He's building his kingdom. Some sort of UPC denominational group. It's a oneness. And he started to attack me when I don't even know him. All because he went to Malawi and befriend a Malawian pastor. And want him to go down to South Africa, I think it was, for some kind of convention. He couldn't go. And he got upset.
And he did a search on the internet and found a photograph of him with me, my report. Wow, there is, oh, this is Branham and this gun. I have deceived this man. And so they tell me, I don't even know who you are. You don't even know me. And because of this man who, you know, deceived you or something, he wrote a nasty report. You'll see it on my website. Call himself a man of God. And say all things, presume a lot of things. But yet, he doesn't need to repent. But I later visit his website, I will post my another article there. His name or his title, Bishop Rekha, man of God, is no longer there, man of God. He put missionary. But would he ever write me an email and say, I'm sorry, I presume about you, you bad man? Would he? He wouldn't. Because when you make a mistake, to begin with, as you being a man of God, bishop, man of God, and you presume all these things that's not true, when somebody tells you it's not true, you already put that on the website. Do you think that is easy for you to recant? No. That's why before you, if you don't want to apologize, then don't start in that nonsense. Right? When I was accused of the brother Jackson over in America, I told him, I said, give me 2 witnesses that you said I did it. And I'll fly to America with my own money. I buy my own ticket. And go to in front of the church, stand before your church, and I will apologize. I said, brother, you will find one because I didn't do it. It's all in your mind. There was no apology. You know? So let us be careful. When you want to speak, the Bible says speak the truth in love. It's not about talking about people. When you talk about people, are you telling the truth? Like here in this, I mean, I have all these years, all these believers here. They don't tell me the truth. So when somebody asks me, but again, why is this son so not in the church for so many months now? What happened? I know, but I was told not to tell. So what did I tell you? You didn't come and ask me. But again, this brother or this sister not in the church for so long. What happened to them? I don't know. But I know. You understand what I'm saying? And you are asking me, because that person told me not to tell. And you ask me, I say, I don't. I just have to ask you to go and ask him or her. You see, there are a lot of people that are hiding things. They don't want to tell the truth. Even the thing is not something, but not that you did something wrong or something. I would tell, of course, you did something that I know you're wrong. You know, something, some secret sin, bad thing. Yeah, cover it up. The Bible says cover a multitude of sin. You see. But something has nothing to do with that. Now, I don't want to come to church because of the brother or sister. Please don't tell anybody else about that. What? You should go and tell the brother or sister you're sorry. I'll make it up. You know. You see, this is the problem we have. We don't want to live the life that is sincere. Open. Let's finish off this part. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. So God built up Israel and then built up the church, right? And Christ was the one who built it up. He is the founder of the church. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for the testimony of this thing which were to be spoken after. Our, yes. Moses was very faithful. So much so that his testimony even come out to this day. Even after what Moses did to son of Judah and back in Judah, and this is what Moses did, this is a, you know, this is Moses of our prophet. Abraham is our father. So they can claim that. But the testimony that how they built it, Abraham was the first one that God called. Remember? Yes? And Abraham build the house nicely. Then after that, the house of Israel. Moses was raised up to take care of it. To build it. Give them the law. God gave them through Moses the pattern of the tabernacle, how to build it, how they should worship. When they march, how to march, the pattern is there. Moses drew it well. Verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope from firm unto the end. See the word if there. Is there. It is an active word here. When you say if, it doesn't sound good. Isn't it? Now, that doesn't mean that, like what people said about this salvation. The salvation can be lost. So you must, if you keep on walking with Christ. Otherwise, you'll be lost. Well, you must say, it's not like you did something by the week. You know, I backslid. Yes, I know I backslid. Israel backslid, right? But God still bring them back. I backslid. I return back to them. My brother Henry backslid for how many years? He's a black sheep. He came back. He's still white now. You see, the thing is that we might backslide. You get point? Doesn't mean that our salvation is lost. It's not that we say, I rejected Christ. After so many years, he said, I reject Christ. He never gave me any peace. More problem on it. You reject him. Yeah, that's different. You don't get a point? Huh? So, Christ has the Son over his own household, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope unto them. We just hold fast. If we hold fast, yes. We hold fast to it, move on. The word if, they will cut you off. If you don't hold fast to it and reject it. Now, just continue holding fast. Now, I know many of us, you're going through a lot of trials and things like that. You're not holding fast because you're having a lot of problems. There's somebody have to pull you and pull you along. You go to church, drag you along. Yeah, but the problem is that if you don't want to move, you sit down on the wayside and you just give it up and die. Whatever. And that's why Israel, for that reason, God said, because of what you are, rebellious, I will send you out into the world. This, the diaspora, scatter you all over the world. Let you feel the pain. Because you challenged me. Let your blood, his blood be upon us and our children and our children's children. Remember when they rejected Christ? We don't sit down and just die, do we? So just hold on to it until the end. We'll stop here. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for grace. Thank you for word, Lord, of life. Thank you for your Spirit, O Lord, that leads and guides us. We pray, Father, you continue, O Lord, again to unfold your word and give us understanding in this world of darkness. Ask him to bless the rest of the day too, Father, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.